Let these be our opening words. They were written by Laurelyn Bellamy. This is an invocation in the spirit of Christmas in tribute to the spirit of Charles Dickens. In the spirit of Christmas past, let us gather to listen and learn the ancient stories that our hearts may find wisdom. In the spirit of Christmas present, let us gather to view and question the way things are, that our hearts may seek justice. In the spirit of Christmas future, let us gather to dream and to plan the way things will be, that our hearts may be reclaimed by hope. Let us take some time now and center ourselves in the midst of this beloved community and put ourselves in a place of meditation and prayer, of contemplation and silence. I will offer some words for your thought and your meditation, then ask all of us to observe some time of silence. And then at the end of that time, with the music, all are invited to light the candles in the windows. These words by Richard Gilbert. These three I offer you this season: faith, hope, and love. These three I offer you this season. Faith that living affirms, hope that caring illumines, love that matters more than anything. Faith, hope, love, these three, not as gifts I offer them, for they are not mine to give. They are yours and mine to share humbly with one another. Fumbling, we hold their promise in our hands. Faintly, we speak the trembling words. Faith, hope, love, these three I offer you this season.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? You don't mean that.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Come then. What right have you to be dismal? What reason have you to be morose? You're rich enough.
Bah, humbug.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be? When I live in such a world of fools as this, Merry Christmas, out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money, a time for finding yourself a year older, but not an hour richer, a time for balancing your books and having every item in them through a round dozen of months presented dead against you? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should.
Uncle!
Nephew. Keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Well, let me leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you. Much good has it ever done you.
There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. But I am sure I have always thought of Christmas time, when it has come around, as a good time. A kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem by one consent to open their shuttered hearts freely and to think of people below them as though they truly were fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it.
You're quite a powerful speaker, sir. I wonder you don't go into Parliament.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow.
Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. Good afternoon.
I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
I am sorry with all my heart to find you so resolute. We have never had any quarrel to which I have been a party. But I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon.
Now, I don't claim to be a Dickens scholar by any means, but I have made a seasonal study of A Christmas Carol, the novel, and the films. When I was a child, my younger brothers and I would be glued to the old television set to see the 1937 version of the story starring Reginald Owen. How we shuddered to see Marley's ghost, and especially the silent, dark figure of the spirit of Christmas yet to come. The movie caused us many a nightmare, but we refused to give it up. It was a sacred holiday tradition for us. Later, we watched that version and the 1951 remake starring Alastair Sim. We didn't like it quite as much, even though it was the same story, but with more detail and a lot more words. Now, both of these films are unmissable during the holidays for me. Actually, I own a copy of The Muppets Christmas Carol on VHS, and this year I decided I needed to get out and see the Disney version of A Christmas Carol, and I can say without a bit of pride that that movie scared the dickens out of me. And I just feel for any child who saw it, because it was really, really scary. Sometimes I can find a play in the community, sometimes a reading. Several years I've listened to it on, a couple of years I listened to it on CBC Radio, and it was wonderful. Now, in this brief homily, I want to explore three of the many facets of ourselves that help us make meaning out of this holiday time of year. I'll use myself as an example. I call these three facets my Scrooge self, my Tiny Tim self, and my Fred self. Now, it's clear to you that I'm naming characters from A Christmas Carol. All right, you're saying to yourself, we all know who Ebenezer Scrooge is, and Tiny Tim is the little boy who says, God bless us, everyone. But Fred, I don't remember any Fred. Well, Fred is Ebenezer Scrooge's nephew, the only child of his beloved sister, Fan, who died in childbirth. Ebenezer ignores Fred as much as he can, so we never even learn Fred's last name. But now, at least you know who I mean. Now, first, in order to make meaning of the holidays, I must acknowledge the Scrooge self in myself. Dickens says about Scrooge, "Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire, secret, self-contained, and solitary as an oyster. He carried his own low temperature always about with him. He iced his office in the dog days and didn't thaw it one degree at Christmas." I wonder if you know anybody like that. Now, my forebears resembled Scrooge in that they, too, were extremely tight with a penny, although they would have used the word thrifty. A number of them went to Western Canada in frontier times. Others stayed back in Ontario to farm the land. But regardless of where they were practical to a fault. They had to be highly resourceful in that difficult environment. Their motto was, use it up, wear it out, and do without. Dreamers among them were fine as long as they created something useful from their dreams. That is what I call my Scrooge self. Another illustration of which comes from a book which I read some time ago and jotted down this quotation, but I failed to note the name of the book. This vignette comes from a sermon on Christmas Eve that the protagonist, Caroline, experiences. Quote, Caroline had never seen this particular priest before. Tall and stooped in his black robe, he looked like a crow at rest as he perched at the lectern and delivered his sermon. Just like the Israelites who were unable to receive the living word of God from Moses as he came down from the mountain, they were dancing around a golden calf, having forgotten their instructions from their Lord God, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Just so do we fail to experience in our hearts the arrival of the newborn child. So occupied are we with gifts, food, family, and not just Christmas, but all year long. We are obsessed with our relationships and our achievements, our new cars and the decoration of our houses, our golf scores and the labels on our clothing. From the way he said we, Caroline could tell he was just humoring them. He knew he himself had transcended all this. There was a reason she had stopped going to church. And the priest continues, And put aside all the false idols of your own making. For just a moment, look into your naked souls, unadorned by the tawdry trinkets of this sinful world, and see what you can find. Here was a boy who knew how to take all the fun out of Christmas, reflected Caroline. Caroline, end quote. Well, in honor of this, mindset, let us remain seated, but let us sing hymn number 241, In the Bleak Midwinter. But years ago, when I was an adolescent, I began to experience what I call my Tiny Tim self. You'll remember that Tiny Tim confided to his father, Bob Cratchit, that he hoped people would see him in church so that they would notice that he couldn't walk without a crutch and would remember that Jesus healed the lame and the blind. Tiny Tim was forever looking for the lesson in every experience and wished to convert every trial into redemption. I, too, looked for meaning and redemption in the Christmas holidays. I looked forward to the Christmas Eve service and its familiar scripture with high anticipation. I had great expectations for that sermon, which I hoped would give me much to ponder, as Mary pondered everything in her heart. As an adolescent, I thought myself unredeemable, and my fondest hope was that somehow the Christmas message of love would become part of my life so that I could love with the intensity that God demanded of all people. Just the right combination of scripture and sermon and song would change me into a loving person, I thought. My Tiny Tim self would have loved this poem by Sister Mariella, titled The Sheep Herd. And this is the poem. I am a shepherd. I have hated the smell of damp sheep in the rain, the pain of clouted shoes on weary feet, the silly barking of watchdogs in the night, the blinding light of summer suns on hillsides without shade, nor anything I did not wish was not, from hoarfrost on the meadow grass to dizzy stars that blinked on stupidly and bright. Last night, I went with the other shepherds over to Bethlehem to see. We did not know just what we'd come to see, who'd followed up a cloud of singing wings, until we came to where a young girl held a little baby on her lap and smiled. She made me think of flowers, white flowers on long stems and blue night skies. Nothing happened. But today, I have been shaken with the joy of seeing hoarfrost wings atilt tall grasses, the sun upon the sheep making their gray backs white and silvery. It has hurt me with its beauty, and I heard the echoes of the barking watchdogs break like silver bells against the quiet hills. And in honor of this joy, let us stand as able and sing hymn number 236, O Thou Joyful Day. along with the resourcefulness of my Scrooge self and the earnest pondering of my Tiny Tim self, I find that very gradually I am achieving a Fred self. As you remember from the book, Fred is a great people person. He invites his Uncle Ebenezer to his home for Christmas dinner, and he is very sociable with Bob Cratchit, in one version even bringing him a bottle of port. He exhibits a great sense of humor and perspective, and he tells his uncle that although Christmas has never put a scrap of gold or silver in me pockets, it has done him good and will do him good, and he says, God bless it. Fred reminds me of a character in a novel by Canadian writer Robertson Davies, who's been dead now several years. In the story that Robertson Davies writes, Yerko, who is a gypsy living in Toronto, invites some friends over for a Christmas party. Now, Yerko has really been not raised in any religious faith, so all of this is miraculous to him. And he is quite taken with the story and with a nativity pageant that he happened to see. Now, in the course of events, Yerko shows his friends the carvings of the three kings that he has made. He says that he saw this in a Christmas pageant, and that all the kings bring gifts to the child. One brings gold, he says, and the others, frank innocence and mirth. In my pursuit of frank innocence and mirth, I have found some remarkable resources of humor for the holidays. The following poem is by my friend and colleague, the Reverend Robert Doss, and it's titled, "Tis the Night Before Christmas." "Tis the night before Christmas, and all through this place, some fervent good wishes may help slow the pace. A blessed gumption to all for getting through the stew of hindsight that you wish had come before, and wisdom for our attempts to be loving when just how to do so comes confused and banging at the door. May Christmas come happy to those who have been putting back together damaged traces of themselves. And happy Christmas to all bunglers and knuckle skinners and flops at fixing things, toys and grown-up constructions too, tonight and tomorrow morn. A very merry evening to all late arrivers, to those who missed trains and planes and buses and all hoped-for connections, and to those who have not arrived yet. We hope by tomorrow you will. A blessed end of December to all owners of machines who do not live up to their machines' expectations of them, and a good spirit to endure all winding things that may not wind up for long, along with some appropriate last rites for those that already promise not to make it through tomorrow morning. A peaceful Christmas Eve to all who lost favorite feelings, feuds, friends, faith, and their cool on the way to and from shopping. Sure and begorra, the rest of the story is that now we must not let the Christmas blues, if they should come, beat us now. So say hello to Christmas, be glad it's done, and say all right to Life Goes On, God bless us every one." Thoughts of myself are contending for attention. The Scrooge self urges me to be practical, to consider carefully before I spend money on gifts, whether or not they are just the right gifts, and above all, to make myself useful in the world. The Tiny Tim self urges me to take some time for dreaming, for pondering, for trying to understand, and at the same time, and at the same time as I appreciate all the qualities of the holidays. This is the self that seeks redemption and enlightenment, not only at Christmas, but all year long. And then there's the Fred self that urges me to enjoy life a little more, especially at holiday time, to spend some time with people I really like. And I will do that by heading to my base camp on Christmas Day. And to cope with the holiday stress with a little bit more ho, 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 and a little less, oh no, oh no. May we each honor our three or more spirits of Christmas, and let it be said of us, as it was said of Scrooge, that we know how to keep Christmas well. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, every one. And let these be our parting words. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Love all beings. Serve the Most High, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia. Amen. Blessed be.